For decades, all indicators of Catholic health, from vocations to mass attendance to baptisms, have been falling. Now, new data suggests that COVID has accelerated those trends. Can we do anything to reverse the exodus? We'll be talking about that today on Crisis Point. Hello, I'm Eric Sammons, your host and the editor-in-chief of Crisis Magazine. Before I get started, again, I just want to encourage people to like and subscribe to the channel wherever you watch it, wherever you might see it. I really do appreciate that. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. We're on basically all the different platforms at Crisis Mag. And it looks like we'll be staying on Twitter for some time now that Elon Musk is taking it over. So that apparently is good news. I had an article about that at Crisis Magazine yesterday. Today is Tuesday, April 26th, I think. And I had an article about Elon Musk taking over Twitter yesterday on Crisis. So I ask you to check that out. Also, be sure, if you can, to donate to Crisis Magazine to support our work, just crisismagazine.com/support. Okay, I want to talk about today is a topic I don't really want to talk about, but I think it's important to talk about, which is the decline in practicing Catholics in America. Now, when I'm talking about this, I'm going to be using a lot of research from the Center for Applied Research in the Apostolate. This is based at Georgetown University. And I know as soon as a lot of people might hear Georgetown University, Catholics might get a little suspicious because it's not really that Catholic of a university, but they do good work. Basically, what they do is they just do a lot of surveys, a lot of polls. They check data from other sources as well to see kind of what the state is of the Catholic Church is in America. How many people are attending Mass? How many people proclaim that, say that they're Catholic? How many vocation? How many priests are there? Diocesan priests? Things like that. And I found it to be a very good source. I've been checking out their data for probably a decade now, at least. I'm not sure even how long they've been around, but I know when I was the director of evangelization for a diocese, I would use their data a lot. Now, before I really dig into some of these numbers, I just want to address one complaint I hear often when I talk about the declining numbers in the church. I take no joy out of this. I would prefer to be talking about how much the church is growing. Sometimes Catholics, they want to ignore this data. They want to act like it's not really happening, or they think by talking about it that we're just being pessimistic and we're discouraging people from becoming Catholic. That's not how I see it. I think it's very important that we talk about these issues because we have to do something to reverse the decline. The fact is that if you go to your typical diocesan chancery or rectory at your typical parish or diocese, you don't hear this talked about very much. You do not, definitely don't hear about it from the pews. I'm sorry, from the pulpit. You do not hear from the pulpit. Typically when you hear a bishop talk, he talks about how great his diocese is doing, how dynamic all the parishes are and how great they are and awesome and all these positive things, which I understand on one level saying that. But the reality is that we see with our own eyes is that massive numbers of people are leaving the Catholic Church here in America. I mean, massive numbers are no longer practicing Catholicism. And we can't just ignore that. We have to address it head on, figure out what has caused it, and then what we can do to reverse it, to bring more people back. And so that's what I'm talking about today. And again, I take no joy out of this. I'm simply reporting what's going on and talking about what we can do to improve it. Also, I just want to note that I'm going to be talking about American numbers here today. I'm talking about the church in America. I would be willing to guess, because that's what I have data for, I'd be willing to guess that the numbers are very similar in most Western countries, for example, in Europe, Australia. My guess is that that things are similar in those. From what I've seen, the little bit of data I've seen from those countries, my guess is, like I said, they're very similar. Now, I know a lot of times it's thrown up, well, what about Africa? People always want, when I talk about how bad things are here in America or in Europe, people want to say, well, things are going great in Africa. I don't think, first of all, that doesn't mean we shouldn't change things here in America and the Western countries where things are going poorly, even if they are going great in Africa. I also think we don't know what things are like. People who say that, they see some very high level numbers, but they don't dig deep. I've been unable to dig super deep in this because frankly, the numbers just aren't there that I've been able to find about exactly what's going on in Africa. I think what I have seen is that Catholicism was growing radically and rapidly in Africa before Vatican II, and it didn't really slow down after the changes that happened in the 1960s, the changes in the culture in the West. It continued to grow. I don't know if it really grew as much or at the same rate as it would have if the church hadn't changed things. So I don't think we can use Africa as some test case. Now, I hope that it's growing, the church is growing rapidly in Africa. There's good things I know coming out of Africa. They seem to not be beholden to the woke culture that we are here in the West. They seem to be much stronger on issues of human sexuality in a lot of cases, for example, against homosexuality and the transgender nonsense. So, like I said, I hope it's going well, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't talk about what's going on here in America and likely in the European countries as well. So, let me start digging into some of the numbers. The one that I want to talk about first, because I think it's the most important, and that is infant baptisms. I've been tracking this for some time now. I mean, I've been using CARES numbers, the Center for the Apostolate for Applied Research for the Apostolate, sorry. And I've been noticing a trend, and I've written about this before, with infant baptisms since the year around 2000. Now, I think infant baptisms is probably the most important indicator for the health of a church. Why do I say that? Because I think infant baptisms reflect a number of different things. First of all, it reflects how many people who have kids are doing the most important thing they can for their kids. After all, as Catholics, we believe baptism is necessary for salvation, that you need to be baptized in order to be saved. As Catholics, now I know a lot of Catholics probably don't actually believe that, but we're supposed to believe that. That's what the church actually teaches. And so if you're not getting your kid baptized, that means you have stopped doing the most important thing it means to be a Catholic parent, which means you're not practicing Catholic anymore. And so if infant baptisms is going down, and that means that a lot of Catholics aren't baptizing their having their kids baptized, which that's a major indicator of people no longer practicing the faith. Secondly, if infant baptisms go down, it might mean because Catholics are having fewer kids. And that also is a reflection of the health of the church. A healthy church has big families. A healthy Catholic church has big families. And so, if Catholics are having fewer children, and therefore, even if they are baptizing them, they're baptizing fewer of them because they have fewer of them, that also is a reflection of the health of the church. And also, I would just say it reflects your views of Catholicism, how important it is to pass it on to the next generation. If you think Catholicism is important and it's the most important thing in your life and you practice it, you want to pass it on to the next generation. And so, you're going to have your kids baptized. And so I really feel like infant baptism is very important. Well, the reality is infant baptism, let me pull up this chart here. And those who are listening, I will describe it for you. Essentially what we see is, now I'll pull up these, get the actual numbers here as well. Infant baptism, there was about a little bit over 1 million infants who were baptized in 1969. Now, the numbers are my dates are a little bit funny because the way CARA does it is they say number of infants baptized the previous year. So in 1970, they mark how many were baptized in 1969. In 1969, a little bit over 1 million, it's 1,089,000 infants were baptized in 1969. And the number dropped between then and 1974. Pretty considerably, by about over 100,000. But then it stayed steady and even increased between 1974 and 1999. Now, I will say that increase, let's not get too excited. Let me pull up another chart. This is the US population. During that time, the US population grew even faster than the number of infants who were baptized in the Catholic Church. So we shouldn't get too excited that the number of infant baptisms increased because it really was a decreased in proportion to the overall US population, and even the number of Catholics in the country as well, or self-identified Catholics in the country. But let's go back to, again, the infant baptism chart. What we see is how the number of baptisms basically stayed steady, essentially from 1974 to 1999. And then all of a sudden, the bottom dropped out. In 1999, there were 996,199 baptisms. So basically a million baptisms in this country, very similar to the way it was 30 years before. 5 years later, it went down to 930,000. 5 years after that, it went all the way down to 800, a little bit over 800,000. You see this huge drop between 2004, 2009. And then 5 years later, it's just a little bit below 700,000. And then in 2018, it was 582,000. So right there, it's already dropped almost by half from 1969 to 2018. And so this is like, I've written about this before, so I'm not going to go to it too much in depth, but clearly there was a significant change that occurred, that started in this century. Around the turn of the millennium, around the turn of the century, what we see is fewer Catholics are getting their children baptized. And I mean, by a considerable margin. And now, one thing I will note is that I've looked into a lot of the different reasons for this, and I don't think we can say exactly what the reasons are, but one thing I have noticed is that religious affiliation in this country began to really plummet around this time across the board. It's not just a Catholic thing. It's not just Catholics who stop practicing their faith and identifying with their religion, but other Protestant denominations as well had the same impact. I'm not 100% sure about whether or not Muslims and Jewish, the Jewish faith, if they also had that happen, but I know Protestant denominations country definitely had a similar drop. But this is very significant. I mean, this is, think about it. Children who are not, infants who aren't being baptized are highly unlikely to practice their faith, obviously, when they get older. They're no longer, they're not Catholic, obviously. They're not baptized. And we're seeing a huge drop. And so it was down to 582,000 in 2018. But then in 2020, the last year we have record for, it dropped again significantly to 411,482. A little bit over 400,000 infants were baptized in the Catholic Church in 2020. To put that in context, some context, there were 73 million people who self-identified as Catholic in 2020. 73 million. Let me make sure I got that number right. I have it here somewhere. Yes, so 73 million, yes, 73 million people identified as Catholic. Now, obviously, and only four a little over 400,000 babies were baptized. That number is horrific, and it just tells you what we're looking forward to in the future. Now, I know the first thing people are going to say is, but it's 2020. The churches were shut down. You couldn't even go to mass for a couple months in 2020. And then later, when you could go, they really restricted what you could do. So obviously, people couldn't get their kids there to be baptized. Now, I will say this in response. There is some truth to that, but it doesn't make the situation better. Because all it does is it just shows that the blame goes all around. First of all, any parent who decided not to get their baby baptized because they were afraid maybe of catching COVID, they have a serious problem in their faith. They need to understand the importance of the soul over the body. Secondly, any parish that wouldn't allow a parent to have their children baptized has an even bigger problem because they clearly are not doing their job, the most important job they have, which is bringing souls to Jesus Christ. And so if they are not allowing infant baptisms, then that's a big problem too. What I saw during that time were that parishes were definitely discouraging people having baptisms. There were definitely parishes discouraging it. Now, we could wait for the numbers in 2021. I think we should, those will be interesting. Will there be a spike? My guess is there will be a spike. It will go up from the 411, but I don't think it's going to go up radically. Like there will be some babies who, some children who were not baptized in 2020, and then they got baptized in 2021 after the COVID restrictions ease. But I would be willing to bet, based upon mostly anecdotal evidence and what I've, but also seeing the numbers, and there's another number I'm going to show you soon that's going to, I think, back up what I'm going to say. I think most of those babies who were not baptized in 2020 aren't getting baptized. They're simply not practicing the faith anymore. And so we really have a situation here where we have so few kids getting baptized. I mean, project this out. If there's only 400, a little bit over 400,000 babies who are baptized Catholic this year, project that out for 20, 30 years from now, when they're adults and they're having kids, they're obviously not going to have their kids baptized either. Obviously, let me take a real quick aside. I don't want to discount the miraculous, the fact that God can do anything and he can bring about revival, he can bring about renewal and reform in the church, and I believe that is possible. But history has shown he sometimes does not do that. He sometimes allows us to have the consequences for our own sins. And so if we see the numbers, if there's only 400,000 children who are baptized Catholic this year, when they are then 20, 30 years from now getting married, having kids, you really think they're going to be baptized? And so, I'm sorry, the ones who are not baptized now, they're not going to get their kids baptized. So we're having a smaller and smaller pool to deal with. Now, why is it that I think that there, well, I think there might be a little bit of a spike. I don't think a lot of these kids who are not baptized in 2020 will not be ever be baptized. It's this number here. Let me show you. Let me find this. This is a chart of the number of former Catholics in the United States. It's the only chart I'm going to show, I think, that goes upwards. And so these are people who identify as former Catholics. So they were Catholic at one point in their life, and now they say they are no longer Catholic. These numbers are frightening. First of all, what we see is from 1970 to 1990, it's pretty much steady. It stays around, let me find the actual numbers here. It stays around anywhere from 2 to 4 million people identify as former Catholics. Now, remember, this number isn't like infant baptisms where you just, it's new numbers. These would be people who say they're former Catholic, and then if they're still alive in 5 years, they're still saying it. So that steady number means it really wasn't growing very much. But then all of a sudden in the 1990s, we see that number start to spike. And this is something I've been wanting to write about. There was a big spike in people losing a religious affiliation in the 1990s across the board as well. And there's a lot of reasons to think why that happened. But we see a spike that begins in 1990. It goes from up to 10 million in 1995, a little bit over 11 million in 2000, 15.5 million in 2005, 19 million former Catholics in 2010, 23,600 in 2015. And then 29,000, just short of 30,000 in 2019. So it went from 10 million, it went from actually 4 million, a little bit over 4 million in 1990 to almost 30 million just 30 years later, less than 30 years later in 2019. But then look at what happens to the chart. It goes insane. It's a hockey stick at this point. In the 2 years between 2019 and 2021, the number went from 29,400,000 to 39,600,000. That is an increase between those 2 years of 35% in 2 years, the number of people who said they're former Catholics. Let that sink in for a moment. In those 2 years from 2019 to 2021, an additional 10 million people, a 35% increase of people said they are no longer Catholic. Do you really think if they're having kids, they're getting them baptized? Of course they aren't. I mean, this is incredible how much that spiked. And I can't imagine that that isn't related on some level to COVID, specifically to the church's response to COVID. What's interesting is you look at crises in the past and it usually increases religious devotion. For example, after 9/11, you at least briefly saw more people going to mass. But you also saw it historically with wars and things like that, but not here. With COVID, because the church decided to shut down here in this country and say, we're not open for business for the next couple of months because the government has told us we're not open for business and we're afraid. A lot of people said, well, if you're not open for business, even when you open the doors back up, I'm not coming back. And I'm not only not coming back, but I'm telling people I'm not Catholic anymore. Because remember, there's still a lot of Catholics, people who self-identify ca as Catholic, but actually don't practice. These are people who actually say, I'm no longer Catholic anymore. Now, we don't know where they went. It is possible that a good number went to Protestant churches. I know that over time that has happened, but that has gotten to be a smaller number. It's been become more atheists and agnostics and non-religiously affiliated, the nuns, as they say, N-O-N-E-S, than anything else. So what we see there is a huge spike in former Catholics in the past 2 years. And that's something that, to go back to the infant baptism, makes me not optimistic that all of a sudden we're going to get bumped back up. I pray that we do. Now, if we look at some other numbers, they don't look anything better. Like I said, the only chart I'm going to show that goes up is the number of former Catholics. If we look at adult baptisms in this country, we see it's relatively steady again from 1970-ish to around the year 2000. But then starting there again, we see a drop, especially starting in 2005. We see a big drop. And then it again, a drop, a COVID drop on adult baptism. So we went from in 1969, we had 84,000 adult baptisms in this country. So these are people, remember, who weren't Protestant. They were never baptized and they decided to become baptized. So these are the true 100% core converts. You get a lot of these people, you're a real healthy church because you're a church that's attractive to people who have nothing to do with Christianity. That's pretty impressive. You get them. We have 84,000 in America in 1969. It dropped all the way down to 41,000 in 2009. And then last in 2020, it was 25,000. So it's gone down by a total of 70% between 1969 and 2020, and 27% just between 2018 and 2020. So we're seeing a huge drop there again in adult baptisms as well as infant baptisms. Weekly mass attendance is what you would expect. It's going down as well, going down. Now, this number, I do want to give a little bit of a potentially good news. So the number of Catholics who let's say they attend mass each week in 1970 was 54%, which made about 30 million people. It went all the way down to 21% in 2019, which was about 15 million people, about half. So about half the number of Catholics. The number of people who said they're Catholic rose, but the number who went to Mass weekly declined significantly. And around low 20s is where it's been percent. Around low 20s% is where it's been for a number of years, weekly Mass attendance. But it went all the way down to 17% in 2021. And so this is not 2020, which is would be the COVID year where people couldn't go to mass. This is the year after. Now, I will say this was taken early on, and I think Kara actually said that their numbers later, let me try to find this here, did show there is a bump back up. That although it was 17%, let me see, later in 2020, that was in early 2021. Later 2021, it was back up to 24%. So my hope is that this number is back being stabilized. Now, the number's terrible. I mean, 20, less than 25%, less than 1 in 4 Catholics who say they're Catholic actually attend Mass each week. The basic building block of being a practicing Catholic, the one thing that almost every Catholic knows you have to do is go to Mass each week. In fact, it's less than 1 in 4 is terrible, but I'm not sure if how much COVID has impacted that one. Now, another thing I wanted to show you, getting back to infant baptisms, I want to show you a couple other churches. For example, the Presbyterian Church in America, their numbers were pretty steady between 2016 and 2019. And make sure I get these numbers right. They were about 5,500 in 2016 baptisms, infant baptism, and they dropped to 4,500 in 2020, so they had a 20% drop. Now, the big drop, though, my goodness, the Episcopal Church. Now, the Episcopal Church covers basically most seats in America. There are a couple other countries it's in. But in the Episcopal Church, they went from 28,500 baptisms, they call them children baptisms. I'm assuming that's mostly infant. In 2013, and they steadily were dropping. In 2019, they were at 19,000, so not good. But then they dropped 63% over the next year, down to only 7,286 children baptisms in 2020. Now, considering what the Episcopal Church is like, my guess is they had some really severe COVID restrictions, even more than the Catholic Church did. But it just kind of shows you that that the Catholic Church isn't the only one that is dealing with this right now. But that doesn't excuse us, obviously. We're the one true church. We should be better. And so what we've seen is that basically the trend that we've been seeing, particularly, okay, there's been overall downward trend in almost every number when it comes to the health of the Catholic Church since 1970. That's just undeniable here in America. Really, since about 1965, it started in the late 60s. 1970 is where really starts to pick up. We see a decline in almost every general number about practicing the faith since 1970, but the decline wasn't super steep. It was really in 2000 where the decline got really bad, and we started seeing numbers drop like crazy, like the infant baptism numbers I showed you before. And now what we're seeing is COVID is now accelerating that acceleration that was happening in the 21st century is now getting even faster. And so this is dire news. This is not, I'm not trying to put a bummer on everybody's day or anything like that, but it's just the reality of what we're seeing, and we have to address it. Now, I think when it comes to that, let's talk a little bit about what can we do. Well, before we do that, we have to answer the question, how did this happen? If you don't know how it happened, how can you fix it? Because if you don't know how it happened, you just keep doing what you're doing, which is what we're doing. We continue to do what we're doing. Now, I know some of the easy answers, and some of these answers are easy because I think there's truth in them, is that the changes after Vatican II really had a major impact. And we do see that it's clear that the changes in the Mass, which is how, remember, most Catholics are not like you and I. And I say that in the sense that they're not listening to or hosting a Catholic podcast. They simply go to Mass each week. They try to practice their faith. They pray some. They might go to church for some other things. Maybe they send their kid to Catholic schools. But their number one connection with the Catholic Church is their local parish, and particularly the Sunday Mass. That's what their connection is. Catholicism to them is shaped almost exclusively by their experience of Sunday Mass. And I think those of us who are really much more practicing our faith, like we do a lot more with our parishes and we do a lot more with our faith than just Sunday Mass, we might forget that. But to the average Catholic, Sunday Mass is probably 95% of how they experience the church. And so when that radically changed, to think that wouldn't have an impact is crazy, because in fact, the reason they changed it is to have an impact. That's what we sometimes forget. The reason church leaders, the bishops, Bunini and the rest, the reason they changed is because they wanted to bring more people. And they thought if we change it, this number one experience of the faith, then more people will start to come. Of course, the opposite happened. Now, so I think you have to point somewhat at the changes in the Mass. I just think that's it's just ludicrous to think they had no impact. In fact, coming out soon, Mass of the Ages, episode two, is going to talk about this a lot. I just actually watched a preview version of it last night. It's excellent, and it talks a lot about these changes. But I do think it's not just that. I think there's a lot of factors that go into what's happened. I think cultural changes are part of it. We had the sexual revolution and the revolution of everything, the revolution against authority. And if there's, I mean, there's one faith that's very much about authority, that's the Catholic Church. A rejection of authority happened in the culture, in the Western culture. So I think the fact that we saw a lot of a decrease in mass attendance and practicing the faith are due to cultural factors that are beyond the church's control. Now, you could argue if the church had stayed strong, maybe those things wouldn't have happened as radically. Maybe the church could have slowed them down. Because if you think about it, what if all those millions of Catholics had said, no, we're not going to go along with the changes in the culture? I think it could have had a major impact. After all, the Catholic Church is the largest religion in America. It's not the majority of Americans, but is the largest single religion in America. And so I think that would be a factor. I think there's a lot of factors. I think I could talk for 3 hours about all the different factors. But we have to look at also how the church changed itself when we look at why we're going down. Now, I would say, what can we do to arrest this development, to try to reverse the downward trend? I think the first answer is, and the honest answer is, we can't. We cannot change the current decline. Now, God can change it through a miraculous work of His. And I do believe that. I'll say that again. I do believe that is possible. Now, I don't think, though, I don't think we can count on it because God doesn't promise us that he will do things like that. There have been declines in areas of the world or the church. There have been decimations of the church in areas of the world that God did not stop for whatever reasons in his divine providence. So I think the decline will continue. In fact, I've said this a few times. I think in 2030, so 8 years from now, I've been saying this for a couple of years now, but in 2030, I think the Catholic Church in America will be radically different looking than it is today. I mean, radically. I think it will be a lot smaller. I mean, look at those infant baptism numbers and tell me how I can be wrong about that. I think it's going to be a lot smaller. So there is no magic bullet. The fact is that we're going to continue to decline. Now, that being said, I do think there are reasons for optimism. Because I think what I see happening is, and what I think this is just what's going on, is that yes, there's a massive decline, but there are pockets of renewal. The most obvious one being the Latin Mass communities. I mean, in my own Latin Mass parish, we had our highest number of confirmations and baptisms, receptions into the church this Easter Vigil than we have in memory. Now, our parish is 175 years old, so I know it was way bigger before the 1960s. But since anybody can remember, past 30, 40 years, this is our largest class ever. So I think that's good news. And I think that's happening at other traditionally minded parishes as well. And so I think, though, what's happening is there's a natural pruning going on where many of the Catholics who weren't really serious about their faith are falling away. The generation before me, I'm Generation X, but the boomer generation, a lot of them, they continued to go to mass even when they didn't believe a lot of the things the church teaches. They had such an attachment that was born into them and created in them in their upbringing to continue to go to mass. They continued to go even though they didn't agree with what the church taught, and they wanted to change the church, but they kept going to mass. My generation, Gen X, did that less so. When we didn't agree with what the church taught, a lot of us just left. We just stopped going. And I think the generation after us, those that follow us, the millennials, the Gen X, whatever they're called, that's true even more so for them. That if they don't believe what the church teaches, they don't see any reason to go. They're not there to change it. I mean, that's the boomer thing to do, is you want to change the church in your own image. For somebody of Gen X and younger, you don't have any desire to change the church. You're simply just like, if it's not going to be the way I want, I'm just going to go somewhere else. I'll go to a Protestant church, or I'll become atheist, whatever the case may be. And so what remains then are those who do accept what the church teaches, who are Orthodox, who are faithful, who are trying to live out their Catholic faith. They believe what the church teaches. And so this is predominantly the traditional Catholics and the conservative Novus Ordo Catholics who are doing this. Well, what that means is that while the percentage of Catholics is going down, the number of Catholics going down, the percentage of Catholics who are practicing, who are really serious about their faith and are Orthodox about their faith is increasing. And so the proportion is changing. The number of boomers who are liberals and really reject a lot of church's teaching, but they're still technically practicing, meaning they still go to mass each week. And that's really the best way we know they're practicing, is just simply if they go to mass each week. We can't know what they think in their heads always in polls and surveys. So the number of Catholics who are practicing, who are really devoted to their faith, is increasing, the proportion of them. And I think that's very important because this is where you're going to get more of your future priests, future sisters, future bishops. And so I think this is going to, it is the it is going to happen. Now, I know this has been being said for 30 years because I've been saying it for 30 years, but I still think it's true. I think it's going slower than I expected, but I do think it's still true. So what's going to happen is the number of Catholic practicing Catholics is going to continue to decrease. I think it's going to be a very small number in 10 years. But those who are remaining are going to be energetic and faithful and serious about their faith and really desiring to live an authentic Catholic faith. They have no desire to be like the world. They want to be Catholic and fully Catholic and authentically Catholic and traditionally Catholic. And that's the base you can build off of. That's the base that a church can grow from. The seed from which it can grow is that base of faithful Catholics. We have so many people over the past 20, 30 years who are in our churches, but they're not really believing. And all that does is bring us down. And I want them to believe. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people leaving the Catholic Church. I don't want that to happen. I'm simply stating what is actually happening. And so I think that's the base we build from, is a higher proportion of those who are going to Mass each Sunday are really serious about their faith. And that's going to impact who we are. And so then practically, I think a few things are going to happen that will allow us to then grow from that smaller, much smaller base that, as we all know, Joseph Ratzinger talked about many, many years ago. He predicted this in the early 70s. And I think this is what's going to happen. But we have a base from which to build on. And here's what I think. I would say there's four major things that will change that we will do that will allow us to then grow in the future. The first one is we're going to, again, put liturgy first. What I mean by that is we're going to understand that the Eucharist, the celebration of the Eucharist, the sacrifice, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, not just reception of communion, but the holy sacrifice of the Mass is the source and summit of our faith. It is the most important thing we do and is the contact point for Catholics to the church, is the Sunday Mass. And so when that becomes more traditionally celebrated, more reverent, more focused on the sacrifice, more focused on worship of God than it is on us, that you see in a lot of these, a lot of Novus Ordo parishes where the focus is on us rather than God. I think that's the first building block, because that is the most important thing that we do as Catholics, is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, participating in that. Excuse me. So that's the first thing. The second thing I think changes when all of a sudden you have most Catholics who are practicing the faith, are serious about their faith, is there's a whole attitude adjustment. Since the 1960s, most Catholic leaders have been concerned about what? Pleasing the world. Let's be blunt. Most Catholic leaders have been most focused on pleasing the world. How can we get the world to like us? Now, sometimes that's done in a sincere desire, thinking that if the world likes us, then they will become Catholic. That's insane. Now we know that's insane, but I do understand how people might have thought that. We know it's not true, but it's a common misconception. I think what's happening now, though, is more and more Catholics, the younger Catholics particularly, they don't want to be like the culture. They see how the culture is a culture of death. It's a culture of insanity. It's a culture of decay. Why would you want to be part of that? Why would you want to make them happy? Why do you want to make the culture of death happy and like you? The culture of death should hate us. If it doesn't hate us, then we're doing things wrong. We're not doing Catholicism right if the culture of death doesn't hate us. And so there will be a whole attitude adjustment that will happen among the church where we stop being cultural, we start being countercultural. And what will happen is people outside the church who are in this culture of death and destruction, some of them will see how terrible it is. And they'll look around, be like, where can I find something that isn't part of this culture of death? And what will stand out? The Catholic Church. We'll be the beacon of light that says, listen, if you want to escape the insanity, if you want to escape the decay, you want to escape all that's going on in this culture, the insanity going in this culture, come to the Catholic Church. That's another way we build. So we focus on the liturgy, we focus on having attitudinal change, which will just happen naturally, in my opinion. The third thing is family life. A healthy church has to have healthy families. Just like a healthy country has to have healthy families, so does a healthy church. The family is the domestic church. If you don't have healthy families, you won't have a healthy church. And what is a healthy family? It's a lot of large families. Now, before anybody gets offended and says, oh, I can't, my wife can't have kids. We only could have two kids. Don't quit judging us. I'm not judging you. I'm just simply saying, statistically speaking, the average number of kids Catholic families have should go up. It doesn't mean there won't be Catholics who are infertile, can't have kids, or only can have one or two kids for whatever reasons. But it means that there'll be more four children families, more five children families, more six children families than there are today. And those families will revolve their life around the faith. They won't revolve them around the local, the weekly soccer games or the more than weekly soccer games or around whatever the case may be. They'll revolve it around the faith. That's another foundation stone for the future growth of church. Some of it just demographically. If practicing Catholics are having more kids and they're passing on the faith to their kids, then there'll be more practicing Catholics. That's just the way it works. Those infant baptisms are going down partially because Catholics aren't having kids. Like I said, there's other reasons, but that's a big reason. So if we start having more kids and passing the faith to them, the infant baptism number obviously goes up. The final thing, the fourth thing, is I think we will become more evangelical. What I mean by that is if we have a faith that has a solid liturgy that we love and is beautiful, and we love to tell, we're going to love to tell other people about it. If we see that the culture around us is decaying and our culture of our church is not, that we're a beautiful culture of life within our church, we're going to want to tell our loved ones about it because we're going to want to help them escape from that culture of decay and death. And then family life also is evangelical because you have more kids. That's just more people you're evangelizing because you do evangelize your own kids. And so I think we'll become naturally more evangelical where we're naturally looking outward to say, okay, what can we do to bring people in? Because right now we're in a what was the phrase I heard recently? I can't remember exactly, but basically a maintenance of decline. We're managing our decline is what we're doing. That's what I mean. Here in the Archdiocese of Cincinnati, where I live, they're shutting their whole plan is to shut down as many parishes as they can, because it just doesn't. We have too many parishes for the number of Catholics and priests we have. And I don't blame them for doing that. Just want to be clear about that. That's what you have to do at this point. But we're managing the decline right now. Well, when we get to rock bottom, so to speak, where the only people left in the churches are those who are serious about their faith, who are insisting on a devout and reverent liturgy and are having big families and are being countercultural, well, we're naturally then going to look outwards again. We're going to say, how can we bring more people into this beautiful thing we have? Right now we're managing decline, then we will grow. So I do have optimism. I mean, I'm older than a lot of people probably watching this or listening to this right now, and so I might not see it. I pray and hope that my children see it, and definitely my children's children see it. But I do think that's going to be what happens here in America, is the Catholic Church will continue to decline dramatically, and there's going to be a lot of pain involved in that. Obviously, all the souls who aren't baptized, that's the most important thing. But just a lot of pain as parishes shut down, as maybe even dioceses contract. I mean, just all these different things that are going to happen will be very painful. We're going to have less and less influence over the culture than we even do now. But I do think then that gets us the seed form in which we can grow. So I hope that even though, yes, the whole topic of this conversation is kind of depressing, I hope there is some optimism there for us that we realize if we remain faithful, if we do these things, if we insist and we go to a devout and reverent liturgy, if we're countercultural, if we live a good Catholic family life, then yes, we will one day grow again. We will be reborn. I mean, we're in the season of Easter right now. We should be thinking resurrection right now. So yes, the Catholic Church in America may have to die, but hopefully, and then it will rise again, just like our Lord did. Okay, I think I'm gonna cut it out there. Went a little bit long today, but that's okay. Good stuff to talk about, or bad stuff, however you want to look at it. But until next time, everybody, God love you.